to the Middle East, where there's another flare-up of hostilities between the US and Iran over the weekend. It threatens to derail negotiations to end the war. Iran says it launched missiles and drones targeting US allies Kuwait and Bahrain in retaliation for American attacks. Meanwhile, the US says it hit more than a dozen sites in Iran after a Panama-flagged vessel was targeted in the Strait of Hormuz. So again, the question being asked this morning is, where does this leave the peace negotiations? Aaron David Miller is a senior fellow at the Carnegie Endowment for International Peace and a former Middle East negotiator at the US State Department. He joined me earlier. Aaron David Miller, welcome back to Radio National Breakfast.
Great to be here.
Now, the US and Iran have been trading blows in these past few days. What are the odds that these sorts of hostilities derail negotiations that are underway in Switzerland at the moment?
I mean, I think whether or not the Iranians show up or the Americans show up for the technical talks that are destined to start, I think, for Tuesday, won't really fix the problem. What you need and what we don't have, given the absence of trust and confidence, is a strategic quid pro quo, an understanding on the part of Iran and the United States exactly what each side gets if they're willing to do serious negotiations. So on the American side, it's significant serious restrictions to constrain and restrain Iran's nuclear program under intensive IAEA monitoring and verification. On the American side, it is to facilitate billions of dollars to the Iranians, either in unfrozen assets, sanctions relief, or continued waiver on oil sanctions. To me, that is the quid pro quo. I think it's going to be extremely difficult. Technical talks are fine, except the folks who are showing up for these talks are not decision makers. And every comma, every paragraph, every word is going to have to be approved in capitals. And right now you have no trust and no confidence between the two sides, and you have two potential triggers. One is Iran's determination to keep their hands all over the Straits of Hormuz, and the second is the ever-present problem of Lebanon. So it's going to be tough all the way around, but unless this strategic quid pro quo, I think, is understood and accepted, it's going to be very difficult to see how you get to a successful outcome.
Wasn't the MOU meant to provide the basis of that strategic quid pro quo? Wasn't that meant to set out some general directions or assurances so that they could then sit down and work out the detail? Is it just that the MOU has been insufficient in your view?
The MOU was a flawed document that followed a flawed U.S. and Israeli military campaign. It left an imperfect imbalance of power. I don't know who the lawyers or negotiators were on our side. I've been around negotiations for a long time. That document is so full of loopholes and generalities. It's really a ticket. That's what it is. You bought a ticket. Iran bought and the administration bought a ticket to enter into negotiations. But without a fundamental understanding of where the negotiations are going and what the purpose is, and some sense at the highest levels that both the U.S. and Iran will get what they need at the end of the road, I just don't see how you move this forward. And for the U.S., the purpose of this war, as the Trump administration explained it, is to restrain, constrain Iran's nuclear program, to put time on the clock, to monitor Iranian nuclear infrastructure to ensure that they're not developing enough fissile material, enough computer modeling, miniaturization of the warhead to actually make a nuclear weapon. That's what the U.S. gets out of this. Nothing more, nothing less. And the Iranians don't get peace with the administration. They're not interested in that. Their proxies will continue to function. Their ballistic missiles will remain untouched. What they want are billions of dollars facilitated. It's not U.S. money, either facilitated by sanctions relief, which could produce billions, unlimited waivers on oil and petrochemicals, more billions, and at least, a quarter or a third of their currently frozen assets, $24 billion. That's what they need. And That, to me, seems to be the bargain. But if you're not clear about that, we're never going to get there. And that's under ideal circumstances. We have two kinetic situations, one in Lebanon and one in the Straits, which could blow this up and has been blowing it up for the last 4 days.
You talk about the need for this to really come from the top, from the leaders involved. Is it realistic, though, to think that Donald Trump, the ultimate and only decision maker, it seems, in US politics, would sit down at a table with a leader from the Iranian regime and actually nut out a deal like that?
No, but we're not talking about a negotiating summit. I mean, I think that would be a catastrophe. And frankly, Mujtaba Khamenei, the supreme leader's son, having seen his father, his wife, and his mother, maybe a sister too, killed on February 28th. What do you think he's thinking about the United States and Donald Trump? I mean, this won't be
done. But precisely,
if
we're not going to have the leaders at the top come and sit down and talk together, so isn't the negotiations we have sort of, it might not be ideal, but it's going to be hard to get better and higher ranking officials together than what we have, isn't it?
No, you can essentially deploy the president's best friend and his son-in-law and the Secretary of State of the United States of America. I work for a half dozen. None of them would ever have been sitting out the gravest and greatest crisis that his or her administration faced. But you can, they're high enough level. They have access to the president, and if brought up to speed by technical experts, relying on the expertise of an all-government effort on the part of the United States, you could field a competent negotiating team. But the deal needs to be clearer before you're going to get traction on this, because there's so much mistrust and lack of confidence for any number of reasons. That, I think, is the problem.
Aaron David Miller, I really appreciate your insights. Thanks so much for talking to us this morning.
Happy to provide them. Take care.